The Behavioral Corner is produced in cooperation with Retreat Behavioral Health, where healing happens. Hi and welcome. I'm Steve Martorano, and this is the Behavioral Corner. You're invited to hang with us as we discuss the ways we live today, the choices we make, the things we do, and how they affect our health and well-being. So you're on the corner, the Behavioral Corner. Please hang around a while. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Behavioral Corner as we forge ahead into the month of November. I'm Steve Martorano, your host and guide. You know me. I hang here on the corner and I wait for interesting and informative people to come by and help us talk about, well, everything, because that's what the podcast is about. It's about everything that affects our behavioral health. It is made possible by our great underwriting partners, Retreat Behavioral Health. You'll hear more about them down the road. In addition to the finances that make this possible, Retreat is an endless well of information and expert commentary through their staff. No greater example of that is my pal right here, Maggie Hunt. Maggie is with Retreat Behavioral Hunt. They're going to change the name. Retreat Behavioral Retreat Behavioral Health in so many capacities, I can't begin to list them all. She has helped us enormously on this program many, many times, and she does so again today. Hello, Maggie.
Hello.
Good to see you. You know, when I just wanted to Google just to get some spellings right, and your Google page, the first page, 75 to 80% of what comes up, in addition to your link, you know, your LinkedIn stuff and all that, are your contributions to this program, which I think Maggie does film reviews with her running mate Gray Schober. She's here today in the single capacity of corporate alumni coordinator with regard to the facility and the people that have gone through it and had much success. And it's an unusual situation because I don't know of many facilities, behavioral health or substance abuse facilities, that actually have alumni groups. So Maggie is in charge of that, and she's going to join us to tell us about it. How long has Retreat had an alumni group, Maggie?
Yeah, I mean, I think as long as we've had patients that have left Retreat, we've had alumni. They started their alumni meetings. The first one they had was November 11th of 2011, because they had shirts made that said 11, 11, 11. Ah. That was their first meeting that we had.
So it's over 10 years. And how did it begin? What was its origin story? And what's the purpose of an alumni group?
It started because we had patients who left who wanted to come back and give back. They had such great experiences at Retreat that they never wanted to leave, or they wanted to just keep coming back up and share their experience with patients, or come back and see the staff and show them how good they were doing on the outside and give back or give different opportunities to people or, to staff that, to kind of give them a break, kind of share different experiences with them. So that's kind of how it started. And I think that now that role at other facilities is similar. Like, I don't think that Retreat is unique in that. I think that a lot of facilities also have that as a role. Because now the state also requires you to follow up with your patients after they leave for continuity, to make sure that they are doing okay.
That's a licensing requirement. I didn't know that.
Yes.
Follow mm-hmm. up. How mm-hmm. long does the follow yeah. up last? How long does the follow up last?
In Pennsylvania, I will say we are required to follow up at least on 7 days and 30 days. Retreat follows up at 7, 30, 90, 6 months, and a year.
Wow. So there is that legal requirement, which is both wise and, keeps everybody safe, but it plays nicely into the alumni group because that fulfills that function right there. How large a group do you have at this point?
Well, currently it's kind of vast because we've had different staff members who've taken over the positions. We've had different communities that have been stronger than others. we've tried different things, we've succeeded really well at different things, we've maybe had different challenges. In Connecticut, they currently are running a virtual group exclusively. In Florida, they are running more of a veterans stronger group that they are in person doing. In Pennsylvania, we recently stopped running our in-person groups because we kind of lost some momentum that we had. Both Grace and Lindsay, who were doing alumni, both went on maternity leave at the same time. So we kind of lost some ammunition with like people that were kind of coming. So we currently stopped our weekly alumni meetings because we wanted to kind of have more larger quarterly events. So we're going to do larger quarterly events instead of weekly alumni meetings, just because they're not 12-step meetings. So we wanted to do bigger events.
I wanted to ask you about that as well, but you could tell from Maggie's description, you know, to be perfectly honest with you guys, we talk about, I mean, you're great partners. Editorially, you guys give me control. I pick the stuff. And I don't think I've ever heard back like, Steve, you shouldn't have interviewed that person. So we have real freedom here with our underwriting partner Retreat. And I'll be brutally honest, it's not an infomercial for Retreat. Well, you know, we run spots and all that. We don't spend enough time talking about Retreat. We really don't. And because it's, I mean, I've seen it now for 10 or 12 years now. I watch this thing grow and get bigger. And as you heard from Maggie, they have facilities now in Southern Connecticut and or in Southern New England in Connecticut. They have their home headquarters in West Palm, which is an unbelievable facility down there. And of course, the Lancaster County facilities here in Pennsylvania. And look, again, I know they are my partners in this thing, but they're world class. These people care. And they do a great job. So I'm glad to have this opportunity. And I want to talk a little bit more about Retreat in a blatantly obvious way. They are my partners and they're good people and they do great work. So let's talk about Retreat a little bit. Before we do that, though, the difference between an alumni group and a 12-step meeting, is an alumni group therapeutic or just social?
It probably has capacity for both. I would definitely say that it is social. It is run by Retreat staff, so it is not patient run or alumni run completely exclusively by itself. Therefore, like if there was a therapeutic component, or if there was some type of crisis intervention, or if there was some type of situation that came up, there is always staff there that is not, you know, it is not fully self-supporting. Retreat staff support that experience, they support the event. So because of that, it is not, you know, exclusively on its own.
Yeah. And I've seen a couple of the agendas that you guys put together. This is a real family affair. It's not just the people who've gone through Retreat. It's them and their families, right?
Yeah. We definitely are welcome. We try to not have children that are there under like 16, 17, you know, I mean, sometimes people will have to bring small children. And if they have to bring small children, we try to keep it so that like they can't fully understand what's going on at the meeting. Just because we don't want them to hear things or people curse in the meeting, et cetera. If they are, maybe they're adolescents, maybe they're struggling in their adolescence and they're there with their parents, then we're okay with that. But if they are at kind of like an age where they might hear kind of some questionable things, we try to avoid that a little bit, plus for liability purposes. However, you know, if they are 17, you know, 16, 17, 18, and they need to be like at a support meeting, we're okay with that. But yeah, they can bring their spouse. You know, it is a recovery-based meeting. It is not a 12-step fellowship. 12-step fellowships are fully self-supporting financially, and they pay their rent for the location. They have their own rules and regulations. Well, I don't want to say rules. They have their own traditions and they have their own program that they follow.
Yeah, there's almost, you spend any time at all looking at AA as an organization, and that's a strange word to apply to them. You will probably find no other large organization. I'll use the word again. That is so decentralized. It is utterly, utterly without a hierarchy. It's all decentralized. It's all self-starting. It's an amazing process, AA. I just wanted to make sure people understood the distinction between an alumni group and a 12-step meeting. So great. I mean, I just think the alumni thing is great. I mean, the idea, I can understand people having fond memories and maybe not so fond memories of being in a treatment facility. Sure. But it says something about, well, let's go back. You know, it's like, you know, let's go back because this was basically saved my life. So I love the idea of the alumni group in that context. I want to spend some time because, as I said, you've done just about everything there is to do at different levels with Retreat. How long have you been with them now?
I have been with Retreat for 12 and a half years.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And so I want you to spend some time explaining to people how you wind up with the right facility for you. Now, Retreat began was almost exclusively a drug and alcohol treatment. There is, of course, even in that context, some mental health treatment that goes on. And then down the road a bit, you develop the Synergy program, which is a standalone mental health service that Retreat also provides that you can avail yourself to without being addicted to drugs or alcohol. It all comes under the umbrella of behavioral health. So if somebody's out there going, okay, I've got a problem with regard to my behavioral health, what should they look for first when searching for a facility?
The first thing I usually say to family, if you know someone that has been to a facility, that is great. However, it is important if you have insurance to check to see who your insurance is in network with, because that is going to be who your funding source is. Typically, you want to find an in-network insurance provider because that is going to make your cost low. That is going to keep your deductible low. Your insurance usually has preferred providers that is going to say, okay, this is who we are in a partnership. This is who we are going to pay for. And this is a guarantee that we're going to pay for. This is who your employers have, you know, your employers have picked us as your insurance. And this is who we are picking as preferred, you know, providers. The same thing as it would for like a PCP. Like if you have a PCP and this, you know, your PCP is in network, like you want to go to that PCP because that's in network. And it's like similar to the same thing. If you choose an out of network insurance provider, that you run the risk of it not being paid for. And so in that case, like Retreat is an in-network insurance provider for almost all major insurance companies. And that's, you know, it doesn't, if you're looking for insurance, if you're looking for a facility, it doesn't necessarily have to be Retreat, like, you know, but, you know, I would just choose, you know, I would tell myself and as a family member, like, look for an in-network insurance provider, because that's who's going to pay for it for you. You know, mm-hmm. Insurance treatment is a hefty cost. And if you have insurance, like you should use your insurance to pay for treatment, especially if it's in network. If you go to Google, you are going to find the top search as whoever has paid the most for whatever keyword you searched that day. So you may try to find a close facility in your area. However, the internet is going to target you because drug and alcohol treatment centers also is a business. So therefore, they are going to be looking to continue. They want to provide a good service for you. They want to, every treatment center wants to provide a service and they want to stay in business. And it is a difficult business to stay in. And they want to provide the best quality of care. However, they are also trying to fill their beds too. So mm-hmm. they are going to want to stay on the top of your mind. So therefore, they're going to pay the top dollar to stay on that top of that list. So when you Google in your area, treatment centers in wherever, you're going to find a place in California, Florida, Connecticut, Pennsylvania, wherever, whoever's going to pay the most for whatever that key term is, and that's where you're going to find. And you're going to click that because you're going to think that that's where you are. And you're going to search through this website and it's going to look beautiful and it's going to have all the things that you want. And then you're going to call them and they're going to be like, we're in Texas. And then they're going to be like, but we'll pay for your flight to come out here. And that is number one red flag. If you find a facility that says that we're going to pay for your flight, hang up the phone because that really? Is that's an unethical practice. That's an unethical practice that was at one time ethical or what that one at one time was seen as an okay thing, but is now seen as enticement because that is enticement to say like, you know, you should as a human being you know, be able to pick your own facility and go to your own facility. And if it is seen as enticement, if a facility says that they will pay for your flight to go there. And I'm not saying that places, you know, at one time did not do that, because they did. However, in 2023, it is seen as enticement if you are paying for flights to go to somewhere.
That's a great piece of information, because I wouldn't have thought that. I can tell, and I understand the Google thing. I mean, we all now think that finding the answers to anything is a keyboard away. You just punch in Google and Google will tell you. Well, it will in lots of cases. But your point about all this enticement and getting closer to what you really need, I tell people all the time, two words in any search that are crucial are near me.
Yeah.
You put in, you know, anything, you'll get one in Vienna. You'll get one in Austria. Put it near me, it's going to narrow the search down. But it doesn't give you the full answer because, as you say, everybody is trying to move up on the Google search. I guess the best thing to do is to read outside what's paid for. Read articles about treatment. And you're right, most people know other people who have been there and done that. And referrals are probably the best way to choose a place.
Yeah, but I also don't think that Google reviews are always the best thing.
No, either, they're not.
Because I know, like, oftentimes a Google review is, you know, especially in drug and alcohol treatment, most people get sober, have a good experience, and then they go live their life. A lot of the reviews that we get are oftentimes people who have had a terrible experience, and then they go back to leave the review to try to, you know, like, stick it to us. And it works, you know, I mean, it works. They did, you know, that's
well, it works across the board. It works for restaurants. Restaurateurs have been complaining about this forever. One bad experience and they condemn the entire operation. So, yeah, no, you can have any opinion about anything you want validated by looking on a search engine for reviews. There will be reviews that agree with you. There will be others that won't. You just ignore those. So you really got to talk to people who have been there, I guess. But it is interesting that you talk about make the first stop your insurance provider, find out what you're covered for. I guess generally speaking, the insurance companies are not in the business of underwriting healthcare with organizations that don't do a real good job. So it's also a way of going, well, if my insurance company says they're okay, maybe they're okay.
Yeah.
And all the licensing and educational requirements that exist, I'm sure Retreat complies with, correct? Correct?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And if you don't have insurance, go to your state's website, because every state currently has a drug and alcohol department or a drug and alcohol county commissioner for your local counties that is providing resources that are able to get you into treatment. So, and especially now too, with the Purdue Pharma, like money funds that are being allocated to helping people get into treatment, that is being dispersed to different states. So you can find, you can find resources in that way, but go to the local drug and alcohol department programs, local county, local counties have funds through a single county authority. And then also the state department for that state also has like ability to be able to get you assistance through the government to get insurance as well, if you don't have insurance. So there's, I understand that it might be difficult and you may not be able to get into treatment that day. However, there is a bit like treatment is out there and you are able to get treatment.
Yeah. Yeah. And money should be the, it's a concern, no doubt, but it shouldn't stop anybody, because you're right.
No.
There's billions of dollars sloshing around
there is.
From these settlements, and it's there. So go look
it
for
is it. There.
I've always said this about treatment, and you said it perfectly. It's out there. They don't deliver it though. You got to go get it. And finally, this with regard to a place like Retreat Behavioral Health. What is the distinct? You are not a psych hospital. You are not a psychiatric hospital. What's the difference between a place like Retreat and a psychiatric hospital?
Yep. So Retreat is a mental health residential treatment center. So it would be, it's a adult residential treatment center. So a psych hospital would be for an acute, is an acute psychiatric facility, and we are a mental health residential. So an acute psych would be someone who has an active plan to harm themselves. Retreat would be somebody who does not have an active plan. So if you have an active plan to harm yourself or someone else, or you have, or you are heavily, oh, that's the update, Zoom update.
Okay.
If you put your, if you put yourself, if you have an active plan, or you are much more at risk than what we can handle, because especially at Retreat, we are not a locked unit. And so if we are a large campus, and so safety is our number one concern. So we would definitely do a psych evaluation to make sure that due to our inability to be a locked unit and our large campus, that we cannot, that we would, that you would be most safe at the facility. There are certain requirements and regulations that being the facility that we are, and through the Pennsylvania and Florida, because we're licensed for mental health in just Pennsylvania and Florida, not in Connecticut, mm-hmm. that we can adhere to all of the guidelines. Now, for someone who struggles with, you know, some people are struggle with mental health, but some people, you know, worry about, I want to get mental health treatment, but I don't need a locked unit. Mm-hmm. I'm struggling. I want to be on a medication. I don't want to be on a medication at home because I'm worried about some of the side effects, but I don't want to be in a locked unit. That would be like somebody who would come to Retreat, or somebody who, you know, is like struggling being at home. I can't get out of bed. I'm having a hard time showering. I just like can't function in like some of my daily life things because but I need to be removed from my situation, but I don't want to like harm myself. That would be somebody who would be like a candidate for some to come to Retreat. We are still a short-term facility. So that's what I think that people also have to remember as well. So we are not like a long-term care option either. So if there is an extensive long-term mental health history, we may not also be the right level of care either, because we are such a short-term facility. And so that would be like, you know, like a lot, an acute psych facility might not be the right level of care either, because mental health is very complex. So it depends on what the situation is. The way that it would work would be if they were at an acute psych facility and then they needed a step down, we would be a good option for a step down from an acute psych facility down to that. Or if somebody had was experiencing a mental health crisis, but they did not have an emergent plan, then they could come to us. If they were in a state of psychosis, we would not be the right facility for them.
Yeah, I understand. And you're right. It's like it's very much like the situation with drug and alcohol treatment. It is not one thing. It is a process. So you have to find out where your problems fit along that continuum. Mm-hmm. And then put yourself.
And we are a voluntary facility.
That is the final distinction. I mean, everyone that can avail themselves of Retreat services is there voluntarily, as opposed to a psych hospital where you can be placed involuntarily. Thanks, Maggie Hunt from Retreat Behavioral Health, our great partners. Hey, you guys, thanks. Don't forget to follow us, like us, and do the whole thing on Facebook and Instagram. We're everywhere, Behavioral Corner. See you next time.
Retreat Behavioral Health has proudly been serving the community for over 10 years. Here at Retreat, we believe in the power of connection and quality care. We offer comprehensive, holistic, and compassionate treatment from industry-leading experts. Call 855-802-6600 or visit us at www.retreatbehavioralhealth.com to begin your journey today.
That's it for now. And make us a habit, hanging out at the Behavioral Corner. And when we're not hanging, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter on the Behavioral Corner.